The forest you guys are in, it's an older forest. Definitely could be a snake, but it's unlike any snake you've seen before. You're not quite sure if the firelight is reflecting off of its skin. It's got long, like, almost wisps of flame coming off the back of it, but it looks more like, not hair, but kind of like a mane. And just these big, piercing eyes staring at the fire. Three figures come out of the forest.
We came from West Spring. We're sent out to patrol the forest.
We have orders.
Orders from whom?
Orders from Twilight.
Who is this Twilight?
Fae creature. Fire.
You said burnt sacrifice. What do you mean?
The archpriest had to commit a sacrifice to our god to release him. It was part of the plan.
Did you kill the villagers?
Some of them remain. I don't know how many.
How many people do you think you've killed?
30, maybe 40.
I'm going to pull out one of the arrows and I'm just going to stab it through his neck.
I'm going to lean down, like, get really close and, like, look him straight in the eye. When you get there, tell your god I'm coming and snap his neck.
Holy shit. There was a time when dragons ruled the sky.
So a lot of stuff just happened. You were attacked by a giant flaming snake. Three cultists from a fire cult assaulted you. One of you used magic that the others were not aware of. One of you went into a barbarian rage and snapped the fingers of someone. One of you stabbed the man in the throat. It's been a pretty busy, what, 5 minutes? So as you guys are trying to recollect yourselves, where is everybody and kind of what are they doing right now? Well, we'll start with Talmor.
Well, I think after kind of coming down off my rage, I'm going to get up and check on everybody, you know, kind of start hurriedly picking stuff up because we need to get going because we're not safe anymore. So, just walking around and just like starting to pick up my bedroll or the tent or whatever and putting out the fire and start packing up.
Leaving it better than you found it.
Yeah. Everybody else should do this too because it's coming. Well, they're coming. More people are coming. And we need to get out of here quickly.
Penny, after that dramatic event, what's kind of going through your mind right now?
Well, I'm just going to go down to the river and wash the blood off my hands. And I think I'm kind of a little bit shell-shocked. But not because I just killed a dude. I think it's because I killed a dude and I didn't really feel anything about it.
So you're kind of down by the river currently?
Yeah.
Nim, you said you gathered up some of the flaming scales?
Yeah, I'd like to go and pick up some of those scales if I can now, if they've cooled down at all.
A little bit. You can kind of see that there's still a little bit of a light's coming off of them a bit. They're still kind of smoky. The ground that they're lying on, you can kind of see is the grass is a bit burnt. The dirt's a little bit smoldered. They're still hot, but not as hot as they were.
Can I see, can I work out what sort of material they're made out of? Are they sort of bone or like regular scales or are they?
What? A scale?
Well, yeah, but it might be like ceramic or something like that.
Ceramic scales.
You never know.
Pretty much as far as you can tell, they look like just standard snake scales. Just happen to be quite a bit hotter than you've seen scales before.
Okay, well, I like the fact that they stay hot, so I want to find a way of picking these bad boys up. Ordok gave me a leather pouch in the bar. Can I scoop them up into that, or are they going to burn the pouch?
No, you, as you kind of like get under them a bit, you can kind of smell a bit of burning leather, but they're not hot enough to burn through the leather, but it is going to be a nice warm pouch now.
Lovely. Yeah, I'll keep my little warm pouch, and I'm going to put it...
A nice warm pouch.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in my back pocket so it just warms my buttocks.
That was for your food.
Speaking of Ordok, what is Ordok up to?
I think I am maintaining a bit of a watch as best as I can, because much like Talmor, I'm expecting more enemies to be showing up shortly. So keeping my head on a swivel while everyone sort of gets together their things, and just I'm preparing to get up and go as quickly as we can as well.
All right. Goshen.
I have gathered my stick, and I am just making sure that the mark on my arm is covered as tightly as I can get it, and kind of looking around to see what everyone else is doing. If it looks like anyone needs help packing up or something, I'll go help them, because I'm also no stranger to running away, so I want to get out of here pretty quick.
And last but not least, Jerry.
Well, I remember getting hit with fireball or firebolt or something. So I'm making sure that all my clothes look okay, and if they're not, I'm mending them. And then I'm just kind of like checking my shirt, like under my shirt, looking at my like chest where I felt that really weird icy touch that just made all that go away, and kind of looking over at Penny like, what was that? That's no magic, I really know. It was different. And then probably just gathering my things, and probably a little more reclusive because I feel embarrassed that everybody just feels like, he's a wizard. You didn't tell us. So I'm probably just kind of keeping myself and grabbing my things.
What was kind of, I mean, any one of you can kind of answer this, but what was like the immediate thought when you saw Jerry using magic?
I didn't notice, honestly. I was in rage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was more focused on the big ass snake.
Understandable. Penny, you said you're going to go down to the river and kind of just wash the blood off your hands.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, what the fuck, Jerry? what are you saying with this? But yeah, I'm going down to the river.
Which one of you would like to roll me a flat d20?
I volunteer. 11.
11. Fantastic. So after a few minutes of, you know, packing things up, getting things situated, where are you guys going to go? What is your main plan now?
Well, I think after we kind of get everything packed up, we're going to go down the path a little bit more. But I think the best thing for us is to kind of trek 20 yards or so to the right or left of the path, just so, you know, we don't get dropped upon by giant snakes. We probably need to rest, because that was the whole plan of stopping anyway, is because, you know, we need to, if we rest now, we'll be able to get there by morning, mid-afternoon, and we need to be rested, especially after the attacks and everything. So we're gonna travel for about probably another hour or so, and then find a place way off the track or way off the path to set up another smaller camp, kind of more covertly.
Okay.
In a place that you wouldn't like necessarily want to camp, but it'll be safe enough.
Go ahead and roll me, Talmor, roll me a survival check, please.
Well, that was a 3 in all my infinite wisdom.
So it's dark. It's definitely late in the evening, kind of early night, not a lot of light. It's the path itself is, you know, it veers off here to there. You just
came off the high of being, you know, in the barbaric rage, which probably for Talmor has not happened in quite some time.
Yeah.
So you're in the back, your mind's kind of like all over the place. Like, what did I do? How did I feel about this?
Definitely.
What the hell's going on? So you might have taken a left and you should have taken a right. You might have missed a path. You might have slipped over a tree.
Oh no.
You come into a decently sized clearing, but it probably took you a little longer than you anticipated. And you're not quite sure what direction it could have taken you.
Okay, guys. So
good job, guide.
I think this is going to be probably a good place to stop for the night to get some rest. I think I'll take first watch if you guys want to kip off, and then we'll do that for a few hours. But I think this is going to be the safest place right now.
Does anyone want to do anything before Shedai?
Like to, as a ritual, cast Alarm. I'm going to try to get everybody in a 20-foot cube, and then, because that's as big as my alarm can go, and then set that up so that if anybody sneaks up on us behind somebody's back, I'll wake up. It'll silently alert me.
Cozy.
Have a little cuddle pile.
Walk around and tuck everybody in.
Did you explain this to everybody, or are you kind of just like herding them into like a small area and...
I'm not explaining it. No. I'm telling them, listen, y'all, if y'all just get in a 20-foot cube, I can make sure that nobody sneaks up on us.
That's really specific.
Now, a cube has to be the same side on each side.
Can you mark it out, please?
Yeah. I'll like draw it with a stick in the dirt or something.
Well, that's just a square.
And not very much space at all.
Listen, I promise you this will wake me up. If anybody breaks this line besides us, I'll know about it.
But you said it was a cube. This is just a square.
Hey man, I've seen him work magic. I trust him.
All right, you guys take a little nappy nap. I'll take first watch.
I can take the next one after you, Tomo.
Okie dokie.
I'm going to pull the air mattress trick again, too.
Nice.
I'm stuck sleeping with everyone. I'm going to try to raise above them.
Whatever, show off.
Or I'm just going to jump on top of you and make sure you're on the ground.
Yeah, I'm just going to sleep on the grass like a pleb. God.
A special magic for you. Now that everyone's kind of asleep, Talmor, what's going through your head?
Break out the Sharpies.
I'm definitely worried. I think, like you said, it's been the first time I've raged in years. So a part of me, I want to say probably like knew that I could do that, but I just haven't in so long that kind of that feeling was, I think the best word to describe it is like terrified, just because of kind of the persona I have now of being nice and like not hurting people and whatnot. And then just like remembering walking through the steps of, you know, what I did to that guy and just completely murdering, you know, so it's really worrisome. To me, definitely preoccupied and maybe not paying the most attention to my watch, but just sitting up kind of in the recovery position.
The watch goes well. It's any commotion that you guys made at the last campsite, if there's anything else out there, it's probably drawn to that area. So, you know, leaving right off the bat probably was a good first idea. Dawn of the next day, the sun's coming up. You can kind of, sunlight starting to just go into your eyes. Everyone's kind of rousing up. It's, you know, new day. Some of you might forget that you're in the middle of the woods. Anyone have any kind of morning rituals or anything you want to do first thing? Goshen, you still up in the air?
I was apparently drugged to the ground, so I'm...
Yeah, I was lashed onto him all night.
So I'm now gone from, like, wanting to get up and meditate to my weird politeness not wanting to move so I don't wake Penny up. I'm just laying very still.
That must have been a very interesting evening then.
You're going to make Jerry jealous.
Ordok, what are you up to first thing this morning?
So first thing that I would do is just my morning sort of prayer rituals. And I think that at this point, I'm also, now that we've sort of out of the commotion of combat, trying to process through the information that we learned, like we just got attacked by some priests that were casting fire magic. So like I have definite evidence that these group of people are up to no good. So I'm going to sort of, during my morning prayers, sort of parse through that information and try to figure out my next steps. And I think that at this point, I'm also pretty concerned about getting to West Springs to see what else is happening there.
Jerry, what are you up to?
I just wanted to recap real quick. Mm-hmm. We heard them say that they were using the town for a ritual and burnt them all up, right? Like there was some kind of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I remember that right.
Mm-hmm.
So we know they're up to no good, not just because of casting fire magic. They sacrificed the town.
Clue.
We have a little bit more than just the fire magic.
You know, some ritual sacrificing, basic stuff. Talmor, now that it's kind of daylight, you can kind of see the area you're in. It's not quite what you thought it was the night before. You're a little bit off track.
I'm gonna like kind of pace around the kind of clearing and like try to get my bearings. Maybe like a little bit worried, but like kind of trying to play it off, like nonchalantly, like walking around, like, oh, everything's fine. But in my head, I'm like, oh fuck, where are we? Oh no.
Go ahead and for today's travels, roll me a survival check, please.
Oh, hey, natural 20.
Look at that.
Hey, Christ.
We just teleported there. We're just there in an instant.
I know where we're at, guys.
Yeah, after some initial like, oh, shit. It's like, wait a second. I know that tree. I know that tree very well. I know where we are. Everything kind of just clicks into place. You know,
I know that tree intimately.
You know the exact longitude and latitude where you are, where you gotta go. You can just tell where things are. So you know the direct path to West Spring from here.
Yeah, I kissed my first dryad under that tree.
You probably went about an hour and a half, 2 hours further north than you should have. So it's going to add a little bit of time to your trek back. But now that you know where you are, kind of know the trails around you, getting to West Spring, you'll probably get there about the same time you would have, even if you stayed on the previous track. While you're coming at it from a bit further north than you would have, it's still a relatively straight shot. Not a lot of stuff's going to be in your way. So you're able to traverse over logs or up the hills, down the hills. You know exactly what valleys, what routes by the rivers to take.
I almost completely forgot. I have to send a message to the guys at Spire every like 24 hours. They're going to freak out.
I was waiting. I was going to see if that someone was going to remember that one.
They told me how these sending stones work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much holding it like almost like a walkie-talkie, but it's like a one-way message system.
Hello?
Breaker 19.
This is Almond Seed. Checking in. I kind of like, not sure if works. I'm like testing.
Oh, no, they mentioned it's kind of like just a one, you can pretty much say a message and it will just be sent. It's really no.
Yeah, but I'm still saying this.
Oh.
I'm just like, I'm not sure if this is working or not. We ran into some clerics of fire and they're burning the whole town. They're sacrificing people and we're not sure what we should do. You should probably watch out for any of the same priest. Something really weird's going on. We're going to investigate further. And that's the message I send to them.
You can feel in your hand that stone gets kind of warm as you're speaking to it. And then once you're done, it gets a little bit hotter and then just gets cool to the touch.
I assumed it worked.
Jerry.
Yeah.
When you spoke to the guys in the tower, did they say if you can send more than one message, or is it limited use, one message a day kind of thing?
Well, I'm not sure. They told me to send one every 24 hours, so it might just be once a day.
Okay.
Maybe I should think this through more when I send them.
I spoke to some of those priests that they seem to be wearing the same sort of clothes as the people we fought, but I spoke to a group of three of them in the Blunted Tip the night before we left. I didn't know if you might want to let them know that they have actually got priests in their town that are possibly related.
I also spoke to Brother Aaron in the temple, the local temple there, and he knows some of the situation, so they might be able to reach out to him for assistance.
Wait. The priests in the tavern were related to the fire people?
Were they wearing similar clothes?
My eyes go kind of wide. They were the ones that healed me when I first came to town. Touch my chest a little bit and remember the warmth I felt that day.
Are you sure they healed you?
He's infected.
Can you take your shirt off, please?
Gotta look down at the burnt, tattered rags that I'm wearing. And I rip them.
Oh my god.
Sure.
Is there any visible marks?
No, his skin is a light pale blue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put my hand on his chest.
Ooh, Jimmy.
Kind of feel it. Is it?
Oh,
like
I
want to
do that as well. Everyone's just touching your chest.
Is it warm at all?
Are you ripped?
I am in shape, but I'm not like big at all. Talmor would dwarf me.
Fantastic.
This is just a big dating sim.
It is literally one of those anime dating sims. This is great.
Is the place that they healed still warm, or is any other mark, or was it just a basic healing spell?
It was just a basic healing spell. Anything, no lingering effects. His skin is the same shade. No other markings than what he already had before the healing.
I'm going to put my ear down to his chest. I hear anything other than his heartbeat.
Can you actually hear his heartbeat? That would be a start.
You hear like a fluttering, like a
screaming.
Is his heartbeat just a rush of wind sound?
Yes.
This is slightly comforting. All right. I think you're good.
Okay.
Dr. Talmor's cleared that one up.
Just let us know if you feel the urge to burn things.
Will do.
So Goshen, you're now running around shirtless?
Yep, shirtless with just cloth on one of my arms and pants.
Okay.
You know I can fix that.
No, don't.
Are you injured on your arm? Do you need healing?
No, thank you. It's
I can heal.
It's okay. It'll be fine.
Are you we can heal you. There's no need to have a wound on your arm.
No. Save your strength for more serious matters. This is fine.
I'm pretty sure I've got a healing cantrip.
Besides,
no?
Yeah. It makes me look very cool. I went slightly Russian there.
Goshen, roll me a deception check, please.
Oh, yeah, I'm fantastic at this. Hold on.
Famous last words.
As long as he lies to me, my perception is horrible.
15.
15. Very nice. So it's coming off as, yeah. He does look cool, yeah.
He looks so cool.
I'm into it. I love it.
By the time we hit West Springs, we're all going to be wearing wraps around our arms. I just want to be cool too.
Trendy.
So, as you guys continue on your journey, I'm pretty much taking the same marching formation as you did the day before.
Yeah.
Okay. Nim, are you kind of like off by yourself, encircling the group?
No, I'm gonna sort of tuck in.
Okay.
Yeah, I sort of tuck in alongside everyone else and about middle of the pack.
Okay.
I'm trying to find my way beside Penny this time. I'm curious about some things.
Yeah, I bet you are.
All right, we'll go ahead and run with this. Yeah, Goshen, go ahead.
So you're out by Tamar and stuff, right? Like last time? Which is fine.
Yeah, like I'm speed walking.
All right.
Power walking.
I yog up next to you, I suppose, trying to catch up because we're going pretty quick. So Penny, the barkeep said you were important, if I remember correctly, but he never said why. Who exactly are you?
Yeah, I'm not actually important, man.
Are you sure? Because he went through great lengths to hire quite an entourage to get you back to your town.
I guess I'm kind of just like his surrogate niece.
Okay.
I guess. I never met him before and he stole all my money, but...
He seemed like such a nice man.
He also kept you hostage for a week.
Yeah. Also kept me hostage for a week.
I am a whirlwind of emotion at the moment. There's confusion and alarm and surprise.
And lust.
Oh, what has this devolved into? So, earlier you rolled me an 11. We're gonna see what happens with that.
Well, I feel like something's gonna happen, John. It feels like when you say that, something's gonna happen.
That's probably nothing.
Ordok.
Yes.
Ordok, can you go ahead and roll me a d12 and d8, please?
That would also be an 11.
That seems thematically good.
Okay. This isn't ominous.
After about an hour or so of walking, you guys start to get kind of the edge of the forest. The trees are getting sparser. They're getting, you know, more space between them. The ground is becoming a bit more level. You're starting to see a bit more through the trees. You don't see anything in the forest, except for maybe like a few items to prove that people have been here recently. You see some wrapping, some, I don't know, damaged clothing, broken spears. It's like there was a small battle here of some kind.
I'm interested. Can I check it out?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'd like to go and rummage and see what they've left on the floor. See if there's anything worth picking up. I'd also quite like to see if I can make anything out of the situation by looking at the things on the ground. Like, see if I can piece together like a Sherlock Holmes kind of...
Can I help him do that too?
Yes. So with Jerry helping with this, go ahead and roll me an investigation with advantage, please.
All right. 17.
So, you can definitely tell that there is some kind of battle. See a few more broken weapons. They've kind of all been gathered into a single area. But off to the side, you see indentations in the dirt of a beast you've never seen before. Never seen footprints like these. It's massive. It's about, you're a halfling. If you put both your hands end to end, it's about that long. It's a good, almost foot long kind of footprint. Four toes just at different points. So whatever it is, it's large and definitely has massive claws.
Is it Bigfoot?
Yes, you have discovered Bigfoot. No.
Nice. I think this might be our wingless dragons.
And of the things on the ground, is there anything worth picking up?
You might see like a broken sword here or there.
Let me rephrase that again. Is there anything worth Nim picking up? And that could be sort of a lot more. It's all just broken weapons.
Pretty much. A lot of them you can kind of see warped due to heat. Some of the, like the wooden shafts of spears are just like singed from just fire. And around you see some clothing that also has singe marks, and the ground itself here or there, you can kind of see just spots of fire.
Okay. So is everyone else seeing that, or should I alert them to the presence?
I would say with you and Jerry kind of walking around looking at the ground, everyone's kind of picking up on this as well.
Okay. So these footprints look a bit big, guys.
They look normal size.
Is no one else intimidated by that? Hang on, actually, Talmor, come over here. Put your feet in the footprint. I want to sort of see how much bigger they are than your feet.
All right. Put my foot in that footprint.
It's about the same size as Talmor's foot. A little bit. The toes go off a bit more. And definitely the footprint is a lot pointier than Talmor's feet. It also depends on how often he clips his toenails.
Almost never.
Could it be Goliath wearing high heels?
This is Goliath-sized 25 stiletto.
Not in this environment. I mean, the heels would just go right into the dirt. No one in their right mind. Yeah.
Whilst we're here and Talmor's got his foot in the foothole, I'm going to sort of quietly say to Talmor, like, are you not intimidated at all by this?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, so it's definitely worrisome because that means this thing's big, but we already kind of know what it is, right?
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was going to be this big.
Well, I mean, they said wingless dragons. It kind of paints a pretty clear picture.
Does it? I've never seen a dragon.
Doesn't it? Oh. Well, I mean, neither have I, but... You hear the stories. They're pretty big.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Plus, there's like there's six of us. Yeah, we're probably fine.
Thanks for the reassuring words, big man.
Yeah, no problem, little guy.
This is the most beautiful friendship.
Hey guys, I just want to take a minute here and tell you about a great company that I am honored to call our sponsor. Die Hard Dice is a small, family-ran business that specializes in beautiful, handcrafted metal dice. I personally have been using them for ages and still love them to this day. Their unique blend of custom designs and superior quality materials makes for, and I do not say this lightly, some pretty stellar dice. Right now, they have been gracious enough to sponsor a giveaway with some of their beautiful dice. We are giving away an amazing set of their forged gunmetal dice that just so happen to be the Doer Dice logo colors, and one of their signature folding dice trays. And it's super duper simple to win. Just go over to our Facebook and Twitter, find the post about the giveaway, like, share, and comment on that post, because each one of them gets you a new entry, so you want to make sure that you do them all. I just want to say one more time before I go, thank you to Die Hard Dice, especially Paul at Die Hard. You guys have been absolutely amazing, and we can't wait to continue our work with you. So with that being said, enjoy the rest of the episode.
We're very happy to announce our newest sponsor, Wormwood. Yes, you heard me right, that Wormwood. Their fantastic gaming accessories are without a doubt the best out there in the market. And we are very pleased to thank them for their continued support. And with their support, we can help you, our listener. At checkout, please use code DOORDICE for free domestic shipping. That's right. On their website, when you check out, go ahead and put in DOORDICE, that is one word, for free domestic shipping. Thank you, and please give them a thanks for helping us out. Nim and Jerry are looking around. Anyone else kind of do anything? You guys are basically right on the edge of this forest.
I'm going to go to the tree line and kind of look out and see if there's anything to see. Like immediate danger, threat.
The first thing you really see is what makes Westspring the sister city of East Runewood. And that is at the very center of town, a large spire, just massively tall, actually a little bit taller than the keep at East Runewood. Now, this one has no windows. It's a lot thinner, and it's at the very center of the town. Around it, you would, Tamar, you've been there a few times. You would kind of know the layout a little bit, but it looks drastically different. There is no smoke in the air, but all the buildings are burnt to ash. Only thing that's staying up are foundations of buildings, some rock walls, but if it was burnable, it's been burnt. It's basically a sea of ash. Until off on one side, you can kind of make out maybe a few tents, some kind of outpost, some kind of camp just off in the distance. There's nothing really in the immediate vicinity that you need to be worried about or concerned about.
Okay. Then I'll make note of that camp, kind of come back to the group and, hey guys, how do we want to approach this situation? Like, are we going in loud? Are we going in quiet? Are we going to like try to do diplomatic or doing like kill everything? Stab, stab, stab. Like what, how do you guys want to handle this?
I think we should sneak. To be sneaky.
That is probably wise.
I'm going to just nod and agree. Sneaky.
We should have taken the cleric robes off of those dead guys.
Yeah, well.
And done like a whole Scooby-Doo, like sneak in.
Who's Scooby-Doo?
A legendary adventurer.
Is that a famous rogue?
Okay, so sneaky. Shit.
I've only ever seen humans so far in their order, right?
From what you've seen so far at the inn and your last encounter, everything's been pretty much human.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree that we should go in with as much caution as possible, but I don't think we should hold out hope for diplomacy. Look at the city. If they've taken it into ruin.
What's going through Penny's mind right now?
Horror. Like, just like total shock.
So all of you are kind of along this tree line. Are you not going any far past the tree line itself out into the kind of like the plains before the city or the plains before the town?
How far away is the camp?
It's decently far away. I'd say it's about on the other side of town. You guys are quite far north of the town right now.
Oh, okay.
Just from the route you guys took to get there. So everything, the town's a good deal further south. I'd say it's probably a good half hour walk to town. And then the camp itself is probably a good 20 minutes south of that as well.
Oh, right. So it's not like right in front of us. So when Talmor said about the camp, I thought it was literally like on the tree lines.
No.
Can we get a rough idea of like how big the camp is? Like how many tents or how many people might be there?
It's a decently sized camp, kind of a red cloth. There's probably about eight or so. It would look like three or four person tents. And there's a few larger ones that you can kind of see for more of like meeting places, about two of those. All in all, there's about a dozen tents in that direction.
Well, that's not too many. We can take them.
Two apiece.
I say we head there first as well. There could be people who need assistance, not just these cultists.
We could do the classic trope of I tie a bunch of you up or a few of us, like me and Goshen, because he doesn't look normal. And like,
thanks, buddy.
Well, I mean, okay, so like not from around here normal. And so we could tie the rest of you guys up and be like, oh, we caught you some prisoners and we're here to sell them as mercenaries because we're not like from around this part. So they might not kill us automatically.
Would you like me to perhaps become a kobold again.
Well, I could put you in my backpack and you could jump out as like a sneak attack.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Would I know enough about kobolds to know that they speak some draconic?
I think so, yeah.
To piggyback off that idea, Nim, I could teach you a few draconic phrases while you're in your disguise.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, to flesh it out a little, that we could perhaps tie me up as a kobold, and we could say that, you know, we've been walking, and you spotted a bunch of kobolds kind of eyeing up the camp on the tree line, and you caught one.
This is getting really convoluted.
And I could be like, you know, you've caught me and questioned me, and we were planning on sacking the camp. But obviously you'd need to get my back because they might just do me.
Or we could, me and you could go in and I could tie you up and I could, well, I mean, like, act like I don't know what I'm talking about and be like, hey, I heard you guys want some dragons. I got you a little baby dragon.
Yeah.
And try to sell you as a little baby dragon. And then the rest of you guys could sneak away, try to get the prisoners. And I'll just create a diversion in the camp.
Yeah, or we could do none of that and just circle around and see what there is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's that, too.
While this is going on, in my shell-shock state, I'm just going to stagger forward a few steps towards the camp.
Penny, no!
Oh, hey. I'm just going to, like, kind of stop her. Like, we don't want her to just, like, walk out there.
Roll me a dexterity check real quick, Talmor.
Yeah, I'm slippery.
Okay. Slippery. That was a one. A natural one.
So as Penny's kind of walking out of the tree line, you try to go and grab her. She's shorter than you thought she was. And you kind of just like, your hand just goes like right above her head. It's like, oh, crap.
I duck Penny, so I don't get smacked.
Yeah. Penny, as you go past the tree line out into the plains, you know this area very well. It's just north of the town. It's just burnt. You can even see some of the tree line a bit further south that wraps around the town has just been taken down for either supplies or to build the encampment. Roll me a perception check real quick.
17.
Nice. The whole group is within the tree line, so the visibility kind of south is not as great. But now that you've kind of come out of the trees a bit, you can definitely see a lot more on either side of you, kind of where you guys are stationed. About 100 yards south of you, kind of coming along the tree line, you see something basically out of nightmares. It's about 5 feet long, a little taller than you are. Bright blood red scales. Large fangs. It's basically what was described to you by the little girl as a thing that burned the town. And you can see it's kind of being dragged along by a couple of the flame acolytes you met the night before. Same outfits, and this drake is just coming along completely willingly. There's no chains bound to it. No nothing.
Am I by myself?
Yes.
Can I hide?
You're going to jump back into the tree line?
No, not go back, but like maybe behind a burnt out husk of a house or something.
The town itself is still a good deal south of you.
Okay. Back to the tree line it is.
Back to the tree line. Would you tell your compatriots?
Yes. There is, in fact, a very big drake down there.
Are they coming towards us?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, they were coming in your general direction.
It just kind of goes back to how we want to handle the situation.
We could hide or we could fight.
We could do both. We could ambush them. If they're walking along the tree line, we might be able to get the jump on them.
Perhaps literally. How big are these trees, John?
These are very big trees. They are very old trees. The ones by this tree line are not as tall or as big in diameter as the ones a bit further back, but they're still about 15 to 20 feet tall.
Could they support the weight of a Goliath?
These ones right here, not particularly.
Dang. All right. Could they support the weight of a Genasi?
Yes. All right. I would say you could probably support everybody in the party except for maybe Ordok and Talmor.
Dang it.
You're wearing all that armor, man.
Everybody scuffle up the trees. I'll tackle the Drake. You guys take the you guys take the cultists. Me and Ordok will go after the Drake.
Sounds like fun. I'll keep the cultists off of our less well armored friends.
Says you haven't got a shirt on.
No.
Can't hit what you can't catch.
The sunlight glistens off his chest. I just need to take a minute. And...
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, back off. This is my day, isn't it?
Before we do anything, I rip a piece of cloth, like, or get a piece of cloth out of my bag and wrap it around my arm. Just, I try to do that stealthily so no one sees, but like,
we all see.
I want to look cool.
So. Go ahead and just, with disadvantage, roll me a stealth check. It's a little hard for you to be stealthy. Holy shit!
Oh my god!
Well, both of those were 19, so that's a 21 on stealth.
Yeah, you managed to drop your bag, pull out whatever you wanted to. No one saw a damn thing.
In fact, I do it on both my arms. I want to look cooler. All right, everybody else up in the trees. I'll give them boosts if they need help.
Okay, I'd say that with boosting and assistance from Talmor that you guys get up in the trees quite easily.
If it's all the same to you, I'd rather stay on the ground.
Okay.
I'll try to like hide another tree layer back or something just behind a tree.
I'd definitely like to climb a tree.
I'm going to toss him up there.
I said climb.
I want to help my little guy out.
All right. So whilst you're standing there, I'm just going to climb up your back and then stand on your shoulders and grab hold of a limb and pull myself on.
There you go, little guy.
Cheers, big man.
Penny, are you also going up a tree?
I guess.
for safety. Get you up a tree.
I don't need to be protected by trees.
Well, that's like a dragon, and I was hired to protect you, so gonna get up that tree.
I'm up the tree. Is Goshen up the tree?
Goshen's up the tree. See, I'm working on the map right now, and I already had you beside Goshen. I just knew that was gonna happen.
I'm going to look at Jerry real quick. Does he look jealous that she's going up the tree after Goshen?
No.
No. No.
I guess that nipple play doesn't mean anything.
These cultists are a little ways back. So they're not quite upon you yet. If you guys could go ahead and please roll me initiative.
I got a 9.
20.
18.
Jesus. I'm going fast.
I got 2. Don't worry.
Oh my god. I rolled an 8. And that's with like plus 5. I rolled a 3. Am I going to have to change the color of my dice again?
For lack of a better turn of phrase, you guys were not the quietest as you were trying to get up trees. In fact, go ahead and who would like to roll me a stealth check for the group?
Me.
Nim would like
go
to roll
for it, Nim.
Nim. If it's bad, blame the color of the dice. They've not been doing me any favors this morning. Oh, 25, ooh, yep. Nat 20.
Ooh, look at that. That's amazing.
Look at that.
You guys managed to get up that tree quickly, quietly. Ordok was probably like a bit further down just so that his armor didn't kind of give anything away. But you guys managed to get up the trees and get hidden quite well as these acolytes and this big ass drake just come right up. There's a little bit of distance between the tree line and them. Goshen, you're first.
I sigh. Finny, stay here. And then I leap out of the tree to try to make it between these two acolytes. As I'm falling, I want to bring my quarterstaff down on the furthest one. And when I land, I'll activate Flurry of Blows to get a couple more swings in.
Okay, so this is definitely going to happen. But go ahead and roll me an acrobatics check to see how well this happens.
Well, let's hope. Whew, 8 with a plus 5.
It was a little further than you thought it was going to be. So you're leaping down, you're like, oh, shit. But you managed to land the spot and go ahead.
All right, let's do some attacks. So like you said, with the jump was a little farther than I thought, and my quarterstaff kind of fell a little short of the one I was after. I slam into the dirt next to him, cuss a little bit, and then I go for my flurry of blows, which would be 2 attacks. And this one's a knockdown strike on the one that I missed with the staff. So I just kind of drop the staff and come up with an uppercut to the ribs. And then I'm going to go for a back sweep kick against the one behind me. Same thing, knockdown attack.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'll do some damage now. So the sweep kick one actually got knocked down, it looks like. But the one I hit in the ribs just kind of surprised.
All right, anything else for your turn?
Nope, that'll do it.
All right, the one that you did the rib uppercut on is just a big exhale of breath. And you can see that he is surprised as all hell that you came out of nowhere.
Hello.
You can kind of see that each one of these guys has like a worn club in their hand. And he's just going to like be a little bit aback, but just swing this club up into you. And that is going to miss completely and utterly. The one that you knocked down prone, he is going to, you know, struggling to get back up using his club kind of as a makeshift crutch. And as he's getting back up, he's going to swing his at you. So you're getting one from both sides. All right. Penny, you are up in the trees seeing all of this. You see, Goshen's just dodging attacks.
We look so good.
How high up am I?
You're probably a good 10, 15 feet in the air.
Can I, like, get down?
You want to climb back down?
Yeah. Actually, no, I'll stay where I am. And I use Hold of Dead on the one that's most wounded, closest to me.
Okay.
I think maybe I see Goshen getting kind of teamed up on, and I'm like, no, Goshen, I'll save you. And like throw my hand out and sort of accidentally cast it. Okay.
Yeah, he succeeded against the save.
So nothing happens, basically.
So this other acolyte in the back is going to see his, you know, his two companions being attacked by this, what appears to be a lone shirtless monk. This one's going to come off to the side a little bit, just see Goshen and just hold his hand out. And you're going to see this spark of fire light up and come straight towards you. Yep. This thing's just going to hit you right in the right-hand side.
Ooh.
So you get to just smell a little bit of burning sensation. You have no clothes to lose this time, though.
This is true.
Swings around a hoax.
Just skin.
Yeah, you know, that's not too important, right?
Talmor.
Going for the Drake. I'm going to go into rage and then just kind of blindly run at it and swing with a crit. Natural 20. And do 10 damage. as I kind of like the feeling that I got in the last fight, you know, seeing like, especially with like Goshen getting hit and like just seeing these guys, same kind of feeling welled up. So as I was running out there, just kind of went blank and swung, going right for the head. So maybe the neck area, the back of the neck, kind of just try to plant my axe right into, you know, the soft spots.
As your great axe comes and cuts into the neck, you're going to get kind of a splash of blood on you. The moment this Drake's blood hits the air, you're going to see just fire everywhere. As the blood gets on you, it's just going to burn. Any clothing you have is just going to start to smolder, and you are going to take 5 fire damage.
Oh no, not my arm wraps.
Nim, it is your turn.
I'm going to cast Zephyr Strike, and now I'd like to jump down from the tree on top of the Drake's head and use it as a stepping stone to launch myself and land next to the far acolyte. So sort of like jump from the tree, 1 foot on the Drake's head, land in front of the far acolyte, and then hit him with a rapier and then dash off.
All right, go ahead and give me an acrobatics check to see how well that came off.
All right. Critical 20.
Nice.
25.
Nice.
Okay, that's your second crit of the night, man. In the last, what, 10 minutes? So, yeah, you just go down. You hit the dragon's head. You do this twist in midair like a gymnast and land right in front of the acolyte. Go ahead and roll your attack. And you know what? Roll with advantage, because he's just amazed seeing you come out of the sky.
So I rolled a 20 to attack.
We'll count it. So go ahead and roll the damage on him.
4. That's a 2.
Okay, so 6 damage total.
And then I would like to run off to the tree line and then take out my bow and use my Dread Ambusher Strike on the same acolyte, if that's all right. 18 to attack.
Go ahead and roll your damage. That is going to hit.
That's for 10 damage.
Yeah, that's going to be just enough to take him down. You bastard.
That's, well, he's dead anyway, but it's also, I should get an extra 1d8 on top of that. But he's dead anyway.
He's real dead.
He's dead. He's dead.
He's super dead.
I overkilled him.
Jumped in and killed him. He was more effective than I am.
Me as well. He's like grease lightning too. Did you see that? He was everywhere. Yeah.
All right. It is now the Flame Drake's turn. It's kind of really focused on Talmor right now because, you know, you cut him in his neck. We're going to see how this works. You can see he's just going to open his mouth, turn at you, and oh, shit.
Critical fail.
Oh, mother. I hate you when you rage. This burst of flame is just going to envelop you. Both of your armbands have just been toasted.
No!
No!
Minus 5
take
cool.
Take 3 damage to your cool points.
Damn it. I only had a few.
Oh, Orduk, I'm sorry. It's also going to hit you.
No! Oh.
You are going to successfully save it, though.
Suckers.
So you're going to see right in front of you, Talmor just get burned, and then it's going to come right at you as well. Talmor blocked a good bit of it for you, so only like half of your armor is singed, but it's still quite painful.
What a jerk. I like this armor.
Talmor, right after the flame stops, you're going to see him bring his head in, and his jaws are going to try and clamp around your upper shoulder, and that is going to miss completely. The neck wound you gave him, kind of, you can see he's kind of like in pain a little bit, so he couldn't really get his neck all the way towards you. So that was a good turn for my new flame drake, Jerry.
Can I see the flame drake from here, or do I need to scoot up?
You probably a little bit closer.
So I'm going to walk up kind of closer, or to the tree line. And then I'm going to take out my spellbook and staff. And I plant my staff
firmly in the ground and grab the top of it, and an arc of lightning shoots out towards the flame drake connecting us. Does 14 hit?
Yeah, 14 hits.
All right. Takes 4 damage as lightning connects and stays there.
Nice. Ordok.
All right. So I feel like Talmor is just going to be wrestling with the drake for a little while, but hopefully he can hold it off for another round or two. So I'm going to run towards the drake, but actually head towards Goshen. And I'm going to use my Lay on Hands healing pool to heal him up. So I'll head sort of in between the drake and where he is, and just do a quick, like, just grab his shoulder and heal up 8 points of health back to him. Very nice. As my bonus action, I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark on the drake to prepare for next round.
So real quick, Ordok, can you kind of describe what your Lay on Hands is like?
Yeah, so I just walk up, and grab him, or like just touch his shoulder and like say a quick word. And it just sort of, I don't think there's any actual like visual to it. It just sort of, his singed flesh just sort of gets a little bit better.
All right, Goshen.
All right. Did your healing magic have a particular feel to it? Like, I got burned, Jerry got frosted. Do you have any sort of...
I think mine is just, you know, the warm embrace of a friend.
I feel very comfortable. All right. So, this is going to be a little weird, but it's dawned on me that these guys are casting fire at me, and my primary weapon is a stick, a dry stick. So... I throw my stick to the ground, and I'm just going to start swinging at dudes. So I'll use an unarmed strike on the one between the tree line and I. Just a wild haymaker. I'm just swinging now.
And that, yeah, that's going to hit him. 7 damage.
And I'll use another key point for another 2 attacks. And I'm going to use the next one on him. I rolled a 9. I did hit, but it didn't save. So he gets the damage, but no knockdown, unfortunately. It's just a 1-2 combo. Left hook, right uppercut.
Yeah.
And I have one more attack. I'm going to try to back kick the one behind, and I critically failed. I rolled a 1.
Ooh. Yay!
Ooh. Oh, no.
So, you have set off our fumble table.
Oh, look at me.
So, as your kick landed, your ankle twisted a bit.
Oh, no.
So... It's going to hurt for a bit. So if you try to do any more kicks, even with your other foot, because you'll be putting pressure on the damage one, it's going to do about a quarter less of the damage it should.
Ooh, ouch. All right.
So we'll put that down as a note.
I kind of like yelp in pain and drop to my knee for a second and then quickly scramble back to my feet.
And you did manage to take down Flame Acolyte 2. He is down.
Still breathing, though. I never go for the fatal punches or fatal hits.
Oh, right. Flame Acolyte 3 is going to see his friend go down. He is not great about it right now. He's going to drop his club, bring his hands up. And yeah, you're right in front of him. So he's going to have disadvantage on this attack. But he's still going to try and burn you. Wait.
I think I recognize the motion at this point. I'm just like, no, please.
And it's in such a way that it will hit both Ordok and Goshen.
That's what I get for healing you.
No kidding.
And that is a success for Goshen, but a failure for Ordok. So he's got his hands up in front of him, making the little triangle again. You're going to see between the fingers, it's just going to be a ball of light start forming. And just... boom, a whole mess of fire is just going to hit you both right in the face.
Oh, Jesus. Damn.
Ordok, you're not doing so good with fire today, are you?
No.
Penny, you're up in the tree.
I'm up in the tree. I'm like, I think I want to get down, but I can't. I need help. So instead, I don't know. You lot made a mess. I guess I'll just try and cast Toll the Dead again on the... Well, it'll have to be the Drake because Goshen's in the way.
Goshen's always in the way.
It's true. Sorry.
So, no, the Drake succeeded. I failed. So nothing happened again. That's it. That's my turn.
All right, Talmor, you're up.
I am going to decide to attack recklessly. So I get advantage attacking, but he gets advantage attacking me. But I'm then just going to do the classic of just hit him. And it looks like with a 16.
Yeah.
21 altogether, I'll hit him. My damage is an 11.
Where did you go to hit him at?
I tried to hit him near the same place. Maybe go for like his leg, a little closer to like the joint, his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Just try to disable him as much as possible so he stays on me.
He's going to roar out again. And just like before, as your great axe sliced into his skin, you're just going to get a face full of blood. And the moment that blood hits the air is just ignite into a burst of flames. That is 3 fire damage. Anything else?
No, just kind of the general thought of enjoyment of having blood on my face, I think.
Fiery blood.
So, yeah, really, really, really loving that spray and the feeling, the smell of killing things.
Nim.
So I noticed that Penny's seems to be struggling in a tree. And I'm sort of eyeing up the branch that she's standing on. How much force do you think it would take to break the branch?
Do not.
Well, it's under a little bit of tension because she's standing on top of it.
Well, I'd say I'm like doing that thing where you're like trying to like dangle your legs off.
Okay. So you're kind of sitting over the edge. Yeah, it's still in a decent bit of tension from that.
Not much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Not much.
So if I took out my shovel and luzzed it at the branch, do you think it would snap?
Do you think it would hit me?
Well, who knows? That's up to the dice.
A shovel's not really an aerodynamic object. You can throw it, but you'll be hitting it with a disadvantage.
What about a miner's pick?
Stop. Oh,
that'd probably be even worse.
I'm just going to get my shovel and just luzz it and see what happens.
All right. Let's
gamble. Can not grab a tree.
Can you give me a disadvantage with a a dexterity check, please?
All right. Fingers crossed, eh, Penny? That's a 13.
Hey, look at that.
Oh,
I rolled a critical as well, but the disadvantage took it away.
Yep. I want to check your digital dice, man. So that is high enough to not hit Penny and just right to hit this branch. And this is going to hit it, but it is not enough force.
Oh.
So Penny, you will see that there is now a shovel embedded into the branch that you're sitting on.
Hey, who threw that?
At such an angle, it could be used as an assistance to get down.
How? It's a shovel.
It's got a handle.
What?
It was all part of the plan, that was.
I'll figure that one out later. Flame Drake. So it's got a lot of stuff going around it. He is going to bite again at Talmor. And that is going to hit 17 for 3 damage after your resistance.
Good lord.
Stupid. That's right.
Can I get some of that resistance over here?
All you have to do is be a barbarian.
And as biting at Talmor, it's going to reach its claws back in an Ordok direction. You're right there beside it, man.
Oh,
that is a crit.
I'm
Oh, it's been fun, fellas.
Oh, no. Ordok, no!
Ordok is down.
I'm going to use my Relentless Endurance.
So you're back to one?
So yeah, instead of being reduced to zero, I drop to, or I go up to one point of health.
I just like this idea of everybody being like, no, and he just stands back up.
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Just but a flesh wound.
Jerry.
I'm going to throw another pulse through my witch bolt and hit the flame drake for 8 damage.
Oh, damn. Very nice. Anything else?
Not just that.
Ordok.
I'm going to crawl away. I'm going to use the remaining pool of my land hands and heal myself as my action. And I think I am actually, trying to decide if I do want to move.
I would be the nice DM. If you leave now, both the Acolyte and the Flame Drake will get an opportunity to attack against you.
Okay.
If you use your action to disengage instead of healing yourself, you can get out of there, but you'll still be at one hit point.
So benevolent.
I don't know. Should I just like heal myself and stay in the fray? I'll have eight hit points at that point.
My professional advice is to disengage.
Just to run away.
Yeah. I think we'll
another hit like that. Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I will disengage and make my way back to the tree line.
Okay.
Run away.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
So much for helping people.
And then I'm just gonna lick my wounds for a few minutes here.
Tried to help and you just got killed.
Yeah, you had a slight out of body experience there for a second.
Through pure anger alone, I brought it back.
Top of the round, Goshen.
I like to imagine that this guy's flame gout sort of just stopped, and then I'm going to headbutt him in the face.
I like this.
I rolled 11, which does hit, and I rolled 7 damage.
Very nice.
4 plus 3.
Okay, he's still kicking, and it is his turn.
Don't you do it.
he's like, his head went back. His blood is just streaming down this guy's nose. He's not that happy right now. But he's got one hand up to his face. He's going to have his other hand out to the side. And you can see he's just going to start forming a ball of flame. 14 is going to just miss Goshen. I had to drop the pretty 19.
Oh, no.
Penny! And your tree adventures.
How am I going to use a shovel to get down? Just out of curiosity.
It's nicely embedded into the tree. So you can kind of use it as a handle to climb down if you wanted to.
Oh. Okay, that's a good idea. I'll do that. I'm going to climb down the shovel.
Roll me an athletics check, please.
Oh, God, it's -1.
Just like real life.
I am aware.
Don't worry, I'll break your fall and just die again.
That's a 5. That is 8. Good old 5.
So you don't have that great a grasp on this shovel. And you're going to start to swing a little bit and you're going to hear it start to crack. And it's you just can't hold and you're just going to fall.
No face plant.
Now, Ordok, you're right there. Give me a dexterity saving throw. I just want to see if this happens.
There goes that 1 point of health.
Yes, as I'm still trying to hold my insides in.
I didn't. You decided to run right under Penny.
That is a 11.
You managed to see. First, you managed to hear the snapping. You see Penny. You reach out, and she falls right into your arms.
Oh my God! This is and just like a dating sim.
Exactly. Romantic interest number 3.
A love square.
Achievement unlocked.
I love it.
Anyway, for my actual thing, I'm going to heal you, Ordok.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on you.
Just kind of rub his face just down. Oh, there you go.
The three. Yeah.
Yay. I'll take it.
And it's just this cold sensation washing over you.
Is he like,
where
holding me like bridal style? Because that's so yes. romantic.
Yeah.
Where did you apply the Cure Wounds to?
His face?
That's not so, his yeah, face. It, your face is a little numb right now. Anything else, Penny?
No, I'm good.
Chalmor!
So it like bit at me. Is it like still like on my shoulder?
No, or no.
Like its mouth open?
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of a bite and release kind of thing.
All right, then I guess I will just do the old swing. Okay, I'm going to reckless attack again and just kind of swing at him with the old axe for a 19 to hit with a 24 overall. And we'll do a little bit of damage being enough to kill it.
Oh. 11.
What I'm going to do is, after it bites at me, I'm going to kind of give out like a intimidating roar and swing for that same spot that I hit the first time and got a critical with, and just go for the whole cleave off its head. And yeah, I'm going to swing as hard as I can.
Now this, as you decapitate this poor drake, its blood is going to go everywhere. And like it's a fountain at Disney World, pretty much. And it's actually is going to hit everyone except for Nim.
Wait.
Nim and Penny are just out of range, but everyone else is going to take some fire damage.
Lovely.
Oh, Ordok's going to die again.
Jerry, you take 5. Yeah, this is not going to be good. We'll kind of come back to Jerry here in a second. 2 for Talmor. Oh, God. Ordok. Oh, son. That is just enough to take Ordok back down.
It was meant to be.
And we'll come back to you in a second. Goshen, you get some on your side. 6
Ow.
Burning to Goshen. Us also going to hit this acolyte. Oh, who only takes 1?
Huh. Freaking acolyte.
I know, right?
John? Penny's yes. actually in Ordok's arms now.
Oh no.
Yeah. Thank you. That's you are true. Correct. You are correct. Penny will take 1 point of
damage. He's a human shield.
I took the brunt of it for you, just to let you know.
Yeah.
You're dead.
He kind of turned his back, hit it, and then, you know, dropped it.
Yeah, how romantic is being in a dead man's arms?
Technically, he died for you, though, so...
Nim, it is your turn.
Does the acolyte number 3 still look you said earlier he doesn't look very happy. Does he still look unhappy?
Oh, yeah. His nose is bleeding. He's now singed a little bit.
Okay. So I'm going to use silent speech, and I'm going to say to him, "Oi, grumps." And then I'm going to pull my arrow and shoot at his face when he turns to look what the hell has just spoke to him.
Nice.
18 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit. All right.
Ugh. 5 damage.
5 damage to the acolyte, and that is just enough to take him down. You guys are now out of combat.
Someone come save me!
If everyone wants to come over here, I can cast Prayer of Healing.
Real quick, before my rage ends, I'm going to grab the drake's head and like look at it in the eyes and just scream at the top of my lungs. And then like drop it like a football and punch it. And then walk over as my rage kind of dispels.
Like, oh, is everybody okay?
And go a little crazy.
Whilst they're getting healed, can I go to the drake and cut out its eyes and its claws?
Oh my god!
And maybe take a few teeth as well.
Well, I have to go find that head.
he punted the head.
He punted the head.
I did just kick it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find it on the way.
Don't worry, guys. I took one for the team.
It's okay. You're going to be fine. Huddle in. Huddle in.
I'm alive!
As Penny is healing everybody, Jerry, please roll me a constitution saving throw.
That's a 9.
So this Drake, this blood fountain kind of went everywhere. You got some on your face. It kind of burned a little bit, but Penny's healing the any damage that was done. As you kind of go to check everything out and just like lick your lips, you'll taste a good bit of iron. And it's a little bit burning. You have ingested a little bit of Drake blood.
Our wizard's about to go Super Saiyan.
So we will check that out at some point in time if anything happens. I mean, nothing might happen, but...
Yeah, nothing. That's why we're going over it.
Yeah.
When you were being taught magic, did your teacher... He didn't go over... He didn't tell you anything about the history of the...
He didn't tell me anything about Dragon Ball.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So it's like, okay, that tastes a little funky.
Doc definitely had a mentality of the more dangerous things should be kept secret. Knowledge can be dangerous.
Knowledge can indeed be dangerous. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Do or Dice is produced weekly for your enjoyment. Show notes, character sheets, and bios can be found at doordicepodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at Do or Dice Podcast. The Do or Dice Podcast is associated with the Nerdsmith Network. Check out some of the other contributors at nerdsmith.org. Do or Dice is a very new podcast. Please give us a 5-star review in iTunes or wherever you shop for your podcast. Thank you again for your support, and check us out next week. Same dice time, same dice channel.
There was a time when dragons ruled the sky.